Good afternoon. I would like to welcome everybody to today's presentation of BZW PKS performance for quarter one 2015. Today with me there is President CEO Mateusz Morawiecki, Emil Króli CFO, and Wojciech Skalski in charge of financial accounting area. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka and I am in charge of investor relations. Mr. President, over to you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe today let me start differently than before. I will try to stick to a few slides. Let me start with macroeconomic environment that you know very well because you deal with that on a daily basis. We believe that the GDP growth will be better than the average quoted by the analysts. We think that it will be a good 4% in subsequent quarters, and it will translate into a good credit growth, maybe even two-digit growth. In this context, it's worth stating that BZW PKS plans to have higher lending growth than the whole sector by 5%. And if you look at our podium position in leasing area by market share, if you look at the record high sales growth in SME loans and mortgage loans year-on-year, more than 40% growth, and corporate loans, then my statement sounds more likely. Of course, the impact of all those factors that you are very well aware of, that is the reduction of the Lombard rate from 16 percentage points as a cap year ago to 10% this year, 6% down, it has a huge impact on our profit and loss account. The higher levy to Banking Guarantee Fund by 100 million and the reduction of interchange fees by another 100 million. If you add it up, then it seems that the sector's performance will be 10% lower than last year. And that was the official line quoted in the media. I think this might be the performance of the sector, but we plan to do much better than the sector. If the sector has a zero growth year-on-year, if the sector we will be on in the above the water, if the sector is down 20%, we will be closer to zero. But this is our ambition and commitment. From the point of view of interest rates, our sensitivity to interest rate itself is roughly 115 million a year for 100 basis points, and in the case Lombard rate decreases by 100 basis points, this translates into roughly 150 million zloty. In the case of interchange, what already could happen happened. This year in January, we had a higher interchange because only the new rates came into force towards the end of January. So comparing quarter to quarter, please take this into account because there is a distortion due to this. I've already mentioned the lending growth. Let me move to our strategy. As part of reviewing our outlets, we will be reducing the number over the subsequent years by 20 to 40 on annual basis, thus reducing our network. Especially, we will be closing down those in the weakest locations who do the weakest. And the branch banking is facing a changing trend. Everything is getting digitalized, automized, and that's why we're moving towards mobile banking and other channels like that. We also keep developing our call center, but at the same time, we reduce our brick-and-mortar presence as well as the staff numbers. Mentioning that, let me tell you that we plan to reduce our headcount by 300, 400 people this year by way of natural attrition, voluntary departures, as we we will actually leverage all the effectiveness automation projects. We will actually transfer certain functions to the call center that keeps growing. We actually increase the headcount there, while in the branch banking, we decrease it. I am mentioning the figures excluding SCB. Santander Consumer Bank plans to maintain the number of outlets they have, which is roughly 280 outlets. Taking this opportunity, it is worth saying that as we announced earlier, these are two different business models. Santander Consumer Bank became part of our group, but it's not the part that competes with other parts of our bank. It is a totally different business model. By reaching stores, retail outlets where we are not present, by reaching car dealers where we've not been present, they actually deliver the results. Our consumer finance focuses primarily on cash loans and credit cards, so we target a different bit of clients. Let me just quote one figure as an interesting piece of information to show you the difference in the business model. The average cash loan in SCB is roughly 5,000. In our case, in BZWBK, it's on average 15,000. So it actually reflects best the segments that we target.
Our net interest margin, well, we have managed to keep it at a slightly higher level than in the previous quarter. However, we should mention here that it will go down due to tight competition on the market, due to the fact that the repricing of deposits is getting closer to the end, and these were the reasons for which we have managed to keep it at the level slightly above the one recorded for the previous 3 months. We have been reducing the prices of our deposits quite severely. We've been fighting for each and every basis point in the context of the margin for on each and every portfolio. Loans for the global generated by the GBM are growing quite steadily. We are present now in the areas where we have not been before, and I'm very satisfied with that, and that responds to many of your questions referring to infrastructure. We are one of three or four entities on the market that are actively engaged in the game, in the play for the largest transactions on the Polish market. Going down by one step in the context of the business, the first quarter for corporate and business loans did not see any major increases. However, in the second quarter, you should see quite high increases in commercial loans. In the SME segment, we witnessed record high sales in April and in May, 1 billion worth of sales for the entire SME sector, including leasing. Never before we have seen such a high number, not mentioning the activity levels of our clients who are very much interested in our loans. That really evidences the high quality of our processes. Our time to yes is about 15 minutes for about 80% of credit decisions taken, which means that our responses are very quick, very prompt. In the case of cash loans, in the case of time to cash, it is another 20 minutes. That means that our processes are perfected, and this is also the reflection of our strategy. One of our management board members, long-term management board members, will now focus on SMEs. Santander Consumer, as our subsidiary, has been developing quite dynamically with sales, average sales going above our budgets. We see quite evident, quite clear group synergies. we leverage our strong funding and liquidity position to strengthen SCB's performance. This is in sync with our previous announcements. We can see very positive developments in this regard. The key indicators are presented in front of you. The return on equity is at the level of 16.3%, a very strong funding position, 95%. This is excluding SCB, it would be 88, 87. The solvency ratios are also at very safe and comfortable levels. Talking about fees and commissions, they represent one of our pillars for the upcoming quarters. We believe that there are strong indications that income line will go up, especially in the context of assets under management. The growth in those assets have been phenomenal over the period of recent months, at the level of from 11.7 billion up to 14 billion plus. The net sales exceeded 200 million over the period of recent months. This is the result of the low interest rate environment and the fact that clients are searching for new investment opportunities. Our investment products, our structured products, will contribute and will allow us to offset the gap resulting from the interchange, the gap of 100 million, as I've mentioned. I believe that it will be possible for us to offset that gap, not only by way of transactions, but also owing to this quite a high position resulting from fees and commissions. Talking about our net interest margin, well, we see quite a big pressure on its decrease. That's obvious. What are the reasons for this situation? Nevertheless, the increase in volumes that I have mentioned, also the increases in volumes presented on the screen in front of you, bode well for the future, I believe. Owing to this, we should be able to achieve increases in our total interest income. As regards well, these slides are quite detailed by nature, I suppose. Talking about cost indicators, let me make a short comment on this area. In the first quarter, our costs grew by 17, 18 million. But due to the BFG fee, the cost grew by 24 million. So taking this perspective, 24 million minus 18 means that our comparable costs decreased by 6 million. This evidences that our cost discipline, that is so characteristic of our bank, will help us to aspire for a decrease from 44% of the cost-income ratio down to 22-23%, down to 42-43%. We'll keep our costs under control. The increases will be at the zero level, despite the increase in the BFG-related costs by 100 million. What is more, the restructuring of our network, decrease in the number of branches outlets, decrease of the manpower, merger with the brokerage house, incorporation of the SCB, all those factors will also help us to deliver additional cost synergies. Most of them most of those cost synergies related to SCB have already been delivered. Nevertheless, in the following quarter, we should see some more benefits in the upcoming quarters. All those components, brokerage house, SCB, the completion of these synergies with the Santander Bank will help us to restructure the network and will help us to continue our tight cost discipline policy, despite the fact that in terms of our average remuneration level, those levels have been growing. The average remuneration per employee grew. This is owing to the fact that we have managed to reduce our manpower.
And the last parameter, that is the leverage of our performance, that is provisions, credit loss provisions, they're at 94 basis points. I think there is a chance to have it at 85 to 90 basis points altogether. And we can see positive trend here. In quarter one, we already created additional provisions for certain cases. So once we sell these debts down, then the NPL level will decrease significantly, and we are just well advanced in the process. Now, it's 7.5%. I think it can be below 7%. And as regards the risk charge, we can have it at the lower level than 1 percentage point that we had at the end of the last year. So strong growth in credits, in profitable segments with very favorable asset mix, combined with lower provisions and very high cost discipline. I believe that this will offset all the gaps in income that are related to Lombard rate, interest rate, environment, and interchange. Whether they will offset it in full, I can't promise or commit to anything in this respect, but we definitely want to perform better than the sector overall, as I mentioned. And this, combined with certain actions which are not really possible to quantify, like the Next Generation Bank, the development of CRM and new multi-channel solutions, which on the one hand are available on the market today, but on the other hand, in a few months' time, these solutions will be unique in their nature. The call center that we develop, the paperless bank, is another pillar of our Next Generation Bank. I'm mentioning this because you can't put it into a model, but let me tell you that we are now, after the merger with Credit Bank, after incorporations of Santander Consumer Bank and the brokerage house, we are now ready for very intensive development, for very intensive organic growth, in such a way that we not only have the top-of-the-art solutions visible all the time, but also that it all translates into the growth in income, in volumes, in number of clients, into the higher performance per employee, per outlet, and at the end of the day, into the higher profits of the bank. So we are facing a breakthrough year, summarizing my speech. Of course, there will be many surprises or Egyptian plagues ahead of us, but we can see that some competitors are getting weaker. We can't see the competition as we used to see in the past. Of course, there are some strong competitors as well, and we benchmark against them. And we want to be most effective in terms of cost-income ratio. We want to have it as a safe level. We want to have a safe position as regards liquidity and capitals, and to generate income at such levels so that, taking into account the impact of all those unknowns, we can actually still maintain the good growth dynamics. Let me mention at the very end the Swiss franc portfolio. Everybody knows what happened on the 15th of January. Quality of this book, for the time being, is surprisingly high. This portfolio behaves better than last year. LGD/PD decline, ODR down. Everything goes in the right direction as regards the ratios. And I think that This is due to the decline in LIBOR, so doubt the overall installment to be repaid with the high disposable income did not lead to any hurricane in the budgets of our clients. So these loans pay off better than they used to 6 or 12 months ago. You might be surprised, but that's the case. But the volatility of this portfolio is subject to discussions. The approach to clients is subject to discussions at the Polish Bank Association Forum, and it's discussed with different regulators, with different fora. You know very well what's going on. BZWBK is active in those discussions on the six-pack solution, nine-pack solution, and other solutions. And we hope that there won't be any improper solutions introduced that would actually shake the stability of our portfolio, because we can see that it performs very well. It's very safe. And we wouldn't like to actually trigger anything that is not desired. So the impact on our profit and loss of that portfolio will be visible through spread, the cost of six-pack solution, and some higher liquidity costs. But I hope that it will be minimum, which combined with very good growth in Polish zloty mortgage loans will translate into the growth in income, and we hope this to continue in the quarters to come. Wrapping up, the liquidity position, capital position, profitability position of our bank is very strong despite the headwinds that we can see ahead of us, that we can sense. But I'm optimistic about the future, the further part of the year. And this is so because the outlook for the Polish economy is very good, and the interest rates are not declining just to annoy the banks, but to make the economy develop quicker. And we as banks, we are both the driving force, the part of the DNA of the whole economy, so we will be benefiting for that growth as well, which combined with growing investments and the U.S. perspectives that are there, I think that altogether this will have a positive ripple effects for the Polish economy and for our bank's performance as well. That's all from myself. Let me hand over to Eamonn, who will give you more details about our profit and loss account.
Okay. Thank you, Mateusz. I'll just turn your attention to slide 22, which is our gross loan performance. During this quarter, we've had a depreciation of the zloty versus Swiss and an appreciation of the zloty versus euro. So our loan book has grown by 3% quarter on quarter. When you strip out the impact of the Swiss franc mortgage situation and the euro appreciation, you end up with growth of about 2.6% for the quarter. So quite positive growth from that perspective. Within this slide, you'll see that the performing loan book has increased 6% year on year, which is in line with the market. But most importantly, you'll see that within that, SME leasing factoring up 13%, GBM up 19%, business performing loans excluding property up 8%. For all very good performance. If we look at SCB's gross loan book, which is 14 billion, I'll just break that down. 7 billion of that is cash loan and credit card, so pure consumer finance. Within that is installment loans. That increased 16% year on year. So SCB are really benefiting from the low interest rate environment, plus their distribution strength into nearly 31,000 stores, of which nearly 20,000 of those are active. Their car loan and stock finance volume is about 2 billion. That has reduced by 18% year on year. So there's a strategy here around reducing the exposure to car loans, and you can see that by way of the business loan book in SCB as well, which is in a separate slide. The value of mortgages is 5.1 billion. It has obviously gone up slightly with regard to the appreciation of the Swiss franc, but the underlying currency amount is down 9%. So Swiss franc currency repayments are 9% for SCB. If I just turn to slide 23, which is our customer funds, with the additional 6.5 billion of deposits from SCB, the deposit book has increased to 92.5 billion, or 15% year on year. Excluding the impact of SCB, total deposits increased by 7.5% year on year and reduced by 2% quarter on quarter as we repriced our deposit book down to lower interest rates. The consolidated group loan deposit ratio was 95%, but most importantly, the standalone for BZ Vubica is 87%. Now, we manage this below 90%. That's our policy and our strategy internally, and we will maintain that as an approach. But to mention here, SCB's funding position is they roughly have about 50% of their funding from deposits. The balance is from a mixture of bond issuance, about 2 billion, asset-backed securities, about 1 billion. We also provide them with direct funding, and they have a small amount of short-term money market exposure. And that is the nature of their business. I saw a comment earlier on that 95% was a high ratio for BZ Vubica, but in fact it's a ratio that we will be used to going forward. The key one, as I mentioned, is within the bank we operate below 90% at a very safe level, and we're able to pass funding to SCB at a cheaper price, which I'll come back to shortly. Our liquidity coverage ratio and net stable funding ratio are well above 100%, are stable and are very safe. We just turn to slide 24. So quarter one net interest income was 1.05 billion, which is 21% or 182 million higher year on year, but 2% or 21 million lower versus quarter four. When we exclude the impact of SCB in quarter one, which added 251 million, BZ Vubica net interest income has reduced by 8% year on year, which is 69 million, or 2.6% quarter on quarter, which is 21 million. Our quarter one net interest margin, when we include swap points and hedging positions, was 3.59%, an increase of 4 basis points quarter on quarter, a reduction of 1% year on year. This is something I mentioned at the last presentation, that I expected us to recover the position with regard to our NIM, particularly on the funding side of our book, and we did so through quarter one by repricing down the more expensive deposits we gathered in quarter four. The quarter-on-quarter NIM increase was as a result of a couple of things which I'll mention. Lower yields on loans due to the 1% interest rate reduction since last October. Lower spreads on consumer loans arising from the associated change in the Lombard rate. This was offset by positive performance of liability management in BZWK and a reduction in the cost of SCB's funding, which is assisted by being part of the BZ Vubica Group. So you'll see that their net interest income in SCB is flat quarter on quarter, which is quite a spectacular performance, but it does show you the benefit and the power of being part of a larger group. I expect a further contraction of net interest income and net interest margin in quarter two from the impact of the lower reference rates introduced in March, which will be fully reflected in the loan book through quarter two, but we should see some recovery in net interest income and NIM as credit volumes pick up in the remainder of the year, and this is something that Matthias has mentioned by way of our ambition, by way of credit volume growth, and indeed our experience in March by high SME volumes, good pipeline in corporate, increased cash loan activity, and credit cards, etc., performing very well. And indeed in SCB, they are benefiting significantly, as I mentioned, from lower interest rates and higher net income among their customers. We'll just turn to slide 25. Quarter one net fees were 459 million. That's a reduction of 13 million or 2.7% quarter on quarter, due mainly to the impact of the reduction in interchange rates, which were introduced at the end of January. The quarter one fee income line was influenced by the consolidation of SCB, which delivered 48 million to the fee line, and the consolidation of the insurance subsidiaries for 2 months, which had an impact of transferring fees to the other income line. Adjusting for these two impacts, underlying net fees and commissions were 419 million, which is roughly 10% lower year on year. And this equates to the amount that the President mentioned with regard to our impact of interchange. Quarter on quarter, card income was 10% or 6 million lower, and 25% or 20 million lower year on year. Credit card fees, where sales have performed very, very well. We sold 55,000 credit cards in quarter one, and we've an increase of 29% on the credit card base year on year. And card transaction volumes continue to grow, where they're up 19% year on year. So, you know, this is the position here is that the short-term interchange impact will, over the next couple of quarters, begin to obviously disappear on a year-on-year basis. But as we build up transaction volumes, we'll see that the impact will recover. We have more clients, we have more transactions. The customer other line, which is made up of current account fees and FX fees, increased by 8% year-on-year, and this was due to an almost 19% increase in current account fees, which benefited from the migration of all customers onto a single database in quarter four, and an update on the schedule of fees and charges for our customers. The reduction quarter-on-quarter was due to lower customer FX transactions in the quarter as a result of market movements and also seasonal issues. Capital market fees increased by 3% year-on-year with the growth of asset management offset by lower brokerage income. Assets under management increased by 22% year-on-year, however the net fee increased by 10% due to the mix of lower fee generating funds. But the situation in this line is that we're seeing higher brokerage volumes, we're opening more brokerage accounts, we're seeing more customers going into asset management activity, and we will generate more fees going forward in this line. Just turn to slide 26. The main item on this page relates to the total pre-tax gain of 560 million related to the sale of 17%, the 17% share in both of our insurance JV entities at the end of February. This gain is made up of 234 million by way of the gain on the sale of shares, 289 million as a result of the loss of control and the consolidation impact, and 38.2 million which reflects the net trading which is reflected in net trading income and relates to the reversal of the FX impact on the Aviva option positions recognised during 2014. The quarter one realised gain on the sale of investment bonds was 188 million. That's an increase, a significant increase versus last year, which was 29 million in the equivalent quarter, and it was 164 million in quarter four, 2014. The situation on the market is very buoyant. We believe, obviously, that's caused by the influence of QE and foreign funds flowing into Poland. We also have an opinion that is a short-term impact, and in that regard, we are moving to shorten the duration of our book in preparation for yields as they turn. The question is, will that be in the second half of the year or into next year? But that's our position. The quarter one net trading income and revaluation amounted to 81 million. As mentioned, this included 38.2 million in relation to the Aviva Insurance sale. The balance of 43 million was 10% lower quarter on quarter, and this is an amount that is regular and is obviously subject to the market environment, but is something that is quite consistent. We had no dividends in quarter one, just to mention that. Other income was 73 million, which was 27% lower year on year. Due to the sale of the insurance JVs in February, the consolidating influence in this line was 26 million for 2 months. The bank also made gains of 7.5 million on the sale of property assets, and we reduced legal provisions by 5 million. Excluding these items, other income was stable. If we just turn to slide 27, operating expenses. Total costs in quarter one were 829 million, which includes 124 million from SCB. It also includes integration costs of 12 million and the insurance, the impact of the insurance consolidation for 2 months of around 22 million. If you strip these costs out, the underlying cost base was 670 million. That's a 5.6% increase year on year, or 36 million. This is accounted for, as mentioned by the President, by the Banking Guarantee Fund, which year on year has increased by 32 million. It should be noted here that our annual cost for the Banking Guarantee Fund is 231 million, which is up 90% on 2014, which was 121 million. So significant increase, and as the President mentioned, 110 million increase year on year. Our staff headcount reduced by around 100 FTEs in quarter one. This will be a continuing factor considering the changes we'll make within the organisation, and as outlined by the President, SCB's headcount was stable. So the situation on costs is that, you know, costs are in our DNA as an organisation. We are 110% focused on how efficient we are, and we will look to offset the regulatory increases that we've been that have been placed on us through other efficiency measures, and that will happen over time. Slide 28. The quarter one provision charge was 129 million. That's an increase of just under 17% year on year. When you exclude SCB, which added 25 million to quarter one's charge, the underlying provision charge was 3% higher. The provision for identified losses, which were both individual and collective, was 209 million, which reduced by 142 million versus quarter four. The annualised provision charge reduced to 94 basis points. The coverage ratio increased to 59.1%. If you strip SCB out, their coverage ratio was 89%, which was stable on a quarterly basis. The NPL ratio reduced slightly to 8.25%, and SCB's NPL ratio was 9.9%, which is 1% lower year on year. As mentioned by the President, we would expect the NPL ratio to reduce through the next number of quarters as the NPL assets are being put up for sale, and we are generally moving to reduce the level of older NPLs in our book. The sale of NPL portfolios in quarter one was 151 million, of which BZWK sold 42 and SCB sold 108 million. The NPL sale led to a positive after-tax impact for BZWK of 4 million and a positive after-tax impact for SCB of 10 million in the quarter. If we just move to slide 29, the next two slides will just talk about Swiss francs in a bit more detail. This slide is quite consistent with the previous quarter. Our Swiss franc loan exposure is in BZWK is just below 3 billion. Our euro mortgage exposure is 560 million. And SCB has under 900 million, around 860 billion of Swiss franc mortgages. Our funding position continues to be comfortable. We have increased our net swap position slightly and reduced our direct funding due to the movement in negative rates through the quarter. It's a much more efficient way to fund ourselves, and we've changed that. The weighted average duration of funding is 5 years, and you can see a breakdown of our mortgages by number and by drawn amount on the slide. On slide 30, we just provide more detail with regard to Swiss francs. You can see the average residual maturity of our Swiss franc book is 20 years. The original contractual period was slightly 27 years, slightly higher than the overall portfolio. The average loan value is 68,000 Swiss franc, and the NPL ratio 1.3%. The position with regard to where we are, as mentioned by the President, is that the portfolio is of good quality and no signs of deterioration. The repayment capacity is stable. The sales process, as we believe, was transparent and professional. And as you all know, we took many measures to try and reduce our Swiss franc exposure over the last 3 years. and we had limited success with regard to that by way of a low conversion rate. So, as mentioned by the President, we continue to work with the Banking Association around the resolution to this issue. On slide 31, the profit before tax was 1.354 billion, which is 137% higher year-on-year. When you exclude integration costs for 2014 and 15, the bank assurance gain recorded in quarter one, and the impact of SEB, which delivered 145 million of profit before tax in quarter one, our PBT, and this is for BZ Rubica underlying, was 7% higher year-on-year. The effective tax rate in quarter one was 19.5%, so quite stable. And they're the main points with regard to that slide. And slide 33, if you exclude integration costs of Viva and the Viva consolidation and the one-off gain in bank assurance, the income cost-income ratio was 44.2%, so showing some reduction. Our total solvency ratio, after providing for 50% dividend payout, was 12.8%, with Tier 1 at 12.4, and you can see that that has increased year on year. We managed to achieve an ROE of 16.3% when you exclude integration, the bank assurance transaction, and their impact. It's a 14.2% return on equity, but you have to remember here that the impact of SEB being with us for three quarters has some impact here by way of our ROE, and we'd expect that to stabilise and start to improve as we move along. The one issue here is obviously how discussions with the KNF go with regard to the level of capital that's required in the business, and that's something that will happen through this year. It may have some impact on ROE. So in summary, the quarter one results, as mentioned by the President, present very good performance in a year that we have many challenges around interest rate, regulatory costs, the Swiss franc issue. You can see that we are making lots of strides and lots of progress in the key segments that we operate in, and they are producing both transactional volume, fee volume, and we'll move on to produce credit loan growth as we progress through the year. So thank you very much.
Please go ahead with your questions. You're welcome.
On your FX mortgages, in terms of the NIM impact, have you seen any delay in terms of asset versus liability repricing to a negative LIBOR? And what was the impact for your NIM and net interest income?
Okay, so I indicated in the slide that we reduced some of our direct funding. It was on slide 33. We reduced some of our direct funding in Swiss francs by about 300 million Swiss francs in the quarter, and that was due to some restriction on the cost of funding on the liability side going to negative margin. When you talk about the swap positions, they correct themselves by way of the negative margin flowing through the swaps, and in that regard we're well positioned, having 70% of our funding in that level. This is depending on how long the Swiss franc issue lasts, and I'm talking about years now. If you take our funding position as 5 years, you may see some contraction in the future if these negative margins contract, but we're in a good position on the funding side.
But in terms of your is there a delay in terms of passing on to the client the negative LIBOR rate? Because it usually takes a quarter, right?
Well, that's purely as the Swiss franc mortgages come up to their quarterly reset. So as they reset, they get the benefit of negative margin. So that's on the basis that the vast majority of our Swiss franc loans are 3-month reset. I think the majority are already benefiting from negative margin at this stage.
Izarokitskaya. Start from the beginning, sorry for that. A few questions on net interest income. When I look at the just interest income without the cost, I see that the drop in on the standalone basis is deeper than the drop on the consolidated basis, which, at least for me, for the time being, suggests that the drop in the interest income in Santander Consumer Bank is somehow lower than on the BZWBK standalone basis. Looking at the interest rate development and the fact that the Lombard rate dropped further, it's kind of surprising. How we can explain that?
Well, obviously, we have another subsidiary which is leasing, which has 4.5 billion of assets, which obviously is a termed leasing book, typically 4 years. So obviously that is some of the equation that you can't see easier, and we can help you with that afterwards if you want. By way of the situation with regard to BZ, we obviously have a floating book, whereas SCB have a Lombard rate impact, and then they have a fixed rate. So we have a lot more floating assets than they do, which are repricing at lower levels. And you have to remember that with a 50 basis point reduction in October, some of that repricing came through in January, February, as loans repriced. And then from the 6th, 7th of March, we had a further 50 basis points. So we are more susceptible in the short term to the floating rate reduction rather than SCB, I should say. And there's also a leasing impact there as well. Not something that we would be concerned about, because it's just a short-term perspective. And the other thing I should mention is that SEB have been performing quite well on volume growth. You can see that their consumer loan book is up 13% year-on-year, and they're getting the benefit of higher volume and a better mix on their book. And that's good. It's good, because the net interest income is flat quarter-on-quarter.
Thank you. And on the cost of funding side, you were mentioning the outflow of those pricey deposits that you acquired in 3Q, 4Q last year. I'm wondering at what point of time over first quarter those deposits outflowed occurred. Basically, how much space is still left for the second quarter, whether we can count on further improvement in that line.
Okay, so I don't know if I actually said it the way you quoted me, but I said we repriced down our book. We have retained something in the region of about 40 to 50% of that volume in our book. So it wasn't all of those deposits. But they, in effect, we started repricing that book as it matured from mid-December and to around mid-February. Some of those deposits went on to negotiated rates and were continuing to reprice as the market has come down. However, there is not an enormous amount of space on the repricing side, as mentioned by the President. And we will continue to manage the book efficiently, but it becomes a little bit more limited as rates have moved to the level of 1.5%.
Yesterday, Millennium indicated that they expect the lowest level of the net interest income, I believe, on the monthly basis at the beginning of 2Q. The way that you indicate further pressure on the net interest margin, should we expect just a drop in the second quarter and then improvement starting from the 3Q, or in 3Q it's too early to expect an improvement there?
Well, we're looking ahead of, the reality here is that the improvement in NIM and interest income will be driven by loan growth. And we have ambitions to grow our loans. As mentioned, I don't want to repeat, but mentioned SME volumes highest ever in March, etc. So in that regard, the quarter three stabilisation or growth will be driven by credit volume, and that's our ambition. We don't envisage any interest rate movement. We mentioned there's a more limited ability to reduce the cost of funding. and therefore it's back to our business, organic growth and credit volume. But just remember, the inputs here, the economic inputs are quite positive. Low interest rates, growth in the economy, more transactions, more interactions with our customers, and it's all to play for. But I would agree that quarter two will show the reduction, most of the reduction.
And just for the comparison to one of the peers, what is the average cost of a swap book right now for BZWBK?
I don't have the exact number. Obviously, we have a couple of swap books, and we have a euro swap book and a Swiss franc swap book. I would estimate that the Swiss franc swap book is around 30 basis points.
3-0?
3-0, yes. Because we remember our philosophy, our approach, our policy has been to lock in our funding for a longer period of time. So, you know, we have Swiss franc swaps out to 2022 on our books. So that's a stable basis, and we manage it in that regard. The euro book would be much tighter, down towards 10 basis points and possibly even lower.
And the final question from my side. We saw an announcement from Santander and Pioneer with regards to the asset managers. What we can expect, or what we can hear at the current stage with regards to the asset management under BZWBK, both in terms of mutual funds, which is much more important, but also what can happen with your 10% stake in pension fund.
Okay, so what was announced by the three shareholders was just an agreement that they would move to actually for signing a detailed investment agreement. And that, as I understand, is a number of months away. So there's no information with regard to the position in Poland, and I assume elsewhere. So no comment. With regard to the 10% shareholding, you're speaking about Aviva, is it? Or, the pension fund, I have no comment on that. I don't expect a change, but we'd wait and see.
Okay.
I don't see the connection either. That's it.
I'm just wondering if basically because PKSA also own a stake in the pension fund, and I'm wondering whether this combined unit cannot drop a stake in one of those pension funds.
Well, remember that our stake is a 10% stake,
yes.
Non-controlling minority interest.
But apparently there is a law that you can hold stake only in one pension fund. This is what I heard. I haven't checked that. So
it's very early by way of the detail. And at this moment, the top shareholders are agreeing how they should move forward. So there's no comment at this stage.
Okay, thank you.
Can I have a question on your strategy in terms of your book, securities book? You've took some profits into the first quarter P&L. Which coupled with the JV one-off from Aviva obviously makes this bottom line look very nice, but there's three quarters to go in terms of the year. So why haven't you waited for, I don't know, a couple of months more with the securities gains to have something in the book for, you know, in the bag for the rest of the year?
Well, I mentioned our strategy with regard to our securities book already, but we also see that as a hedge on our interest income. You know, we invest all our current account balances in the market. The yield on our current accounts is obviously reduced as interest rates have reduced. That's, you know, you can see our net interest income is down 68 million just for BZWBK year on year. And in that regard, you know, that's we view that as a hedge. When the market is good, the market's good, and when it meets your strategy, it makes sense as well.
So you, as a house view, you expect Polish sovereign bond yields to go up materially from here?
I don't know if I'd use the word materially, but I'd expect them to bottom and turn at some stage, yes. You know, our house view on interest rates is that we would see some movement upwards in interest rates towards the end of next year, and it's typical that the bond market moves in advance at that time.
Maybe just a follow-up on this question. You said that you shortened the duration of your securities book. You mean that this has happened in the first quarter, or this is something that has already been done, or do you expect that there's some still adjustments going on?
It's happened. It's happened over a couple of quarters. Your investment book's a bit like an oil tanker. By way of shortening duration, it takes some time to do that because of the mixture of assets you hold by way of duration. So it's an ongoing process.
Okay. And I have some detailed question, because you said that...
just mentioned that if you look at the yield curve on Polish bonds, it's very flat. You know, there's no pickup in longer maturities at this moment. And we have to consider not only now, next year, we have to consider over the next 5 years as well where yields are going.
Just a question. The NPL sale on the BZW level, was it sold on loss or on gain? Because in presentation it says 4 million loss, I guess, on page 28.
Sorry, does it say it's a gain? Yeah, maybe that's a...
It's a gain. Okay, understand.
Apologies. Yeah, positive, an after-tax 4 million gain.
Gain, okay.
Yeah.
Very general question about this strategy that you had towards deposits, because you have been quite aggressive on pricing somewhere in August, and now you have been quite aggressive in cutting the prices down. And I wonder, if you look backward, was this sort of a strategy that have benefited you, or you believe that this hadn't had a material impact?
Well, I think some of our competitors have taken up the aggressive stance now at this moment. But by way of the overall position, you know, this was a situation that we got at 80,000 new customers into the bank by way of contact. Some of those were old relationships that came back to us. We had cross-sell into current account, we'd cross-sell into credit card, we had about $500 million went into asset management, and we invested some of the excess cash on the market, which also assisted by way of our performance on a bond portfolio. So overall, a good exercise for our network, our branch network, to get in touch with new customers, to get activity to the branches, to get cross-sell, and to get additional money. So in that regard, we have no issue with it, and it was always our intention to reprice those deposits down to lower levels as they matured, and hence it was a 4-month deposit. So overall, a good strategy for its time, and it's worked out fine, and you can see it by way of the increase in net interest margin through the quarter as well.
And do you see any further room to cut the funding cost on the Santander Consumer Bank level? Because I believe that there's like 50% of the funding is still deposits collected directly by them.
Correct, that's right. Those deposits have a maturity profile, up to 3 years. 3 years ago, rates were higher, so they'll get the benefit of issuing new deposits at lower rates. Their position is very stable. They have the benefit of if they want to reduce their prices, they can rely on us for some short-term funding. So I would expect further benefit on the funding side to flow through this year.
And two last very short questions, because one's about BGF fee. It says, you say that you have kickback from the clients at 22.5 million in the first quarter. Is this something recurrent or for the next quarter, or would just only for the first quarter?
Well, this relates to agreements within contracts with customers. And it's an annual a situation that is settled in quarter one, and on that basis it's not recurring.
And last question, integration costs with Credit Bank for this year, what's the budget?
Integration costs will be in the region of 40 to 50 million.
Thank you.
I have one question on credit card strategy, because you sold 55,000 cards. That's a lot in the market, which is not selling credit cards really, in because of the interchange and the Lombard, obviously, you know, constraints. Is it because of your strategy to basically eliminate the debit card and to just have a client using credit card for, you know, purchases and for ATMs, a different card?
To byłoby za dużo powiedziane, że to dlatego.
It would be too much to say that we are to eliminate debit cards, but you have identified this part of our strategy quite well. Our strategy is to offset the loss of the interchange-related income, but we view it as a complementary product, a product complementing our credit cards. Of course, we are monitoring the profitability of those cards, and given the growing volume and utilization of limits at the level of 1 billion, and let me remind you, 2.5 years ago it was 500 million. Given that this is quite an important and growing component of our profit and loss account, you are quite aware of the fact that in addition to the interchange related income, it is lower by 80%, but it still exists. When customers incur debts, we earn on interest accrued after the grace period. Additionally, we charge fees for issuing the cards, for keeping the cards. So given all the reductions in the interchange, now on, those cards are much more profitable than debit cards. But this would be an overstatement to mention that we want to eliminate debit cards, because they are quite popular. We are satisfied with the fact that the overall transactional level per card is growing. PKSA is the only bank which is offering this card only in relation to ATMs. What is your approach to this? I am aware of the fact that you reduce your fees for ATM withdrawals, yes, but on the other hand, I would like to mention the fact that we are facing a discussion on ATMs on the Polish market, whether it should be possible to charge fees for ATM withdrawals. There are no free lunches, and given the fact that the interchange is so low, banks that have their own ATM networks are to suffer losses in short time. Therefore, they are working to two directions. On the one hand, they want to develop a common card proposition and settlement proposition to avoid any costs. In relation to MasterCard, we want to have a similar solution that they have in Germany with double BIN that will allow to generate transactions both in Poland and abroad. This would help allow our clients to have just one card for domestic and international transactions. And on the other hand, we would like to have a possibility to impose some fees, some surcharge, to offset the costs of maintaining our ATMs. In this context, we want to have this dual functionality. We wanted to complement our debit card proposition. That is why I'm talking about complementary nature of this business.
Czy są jeszcze jakieś pytania?
Are there any other questions? If not, let me read two questions from the internet.
Did you give any outlook on the likely level of securities gains going forward? And the second question, the bank booked very low cost of risk in corporate in 1Q15. Were there some special effects? Total cost of risk guidance for 2015, please.
Okay, so there's no guidance for gains in security sales for the year. I've outlined the strategy and the approach that we're taking, and we'll see how that fares out. So there's no guidance in that regard. Yes, we did book a low cost of risk in corporate, as indicated at the quarter four results. The underlying performance of our book is very, very good. There wasn't any special effects. It's just performing quite well, and customers are benefiting from lower interest rates and a more buoyant economy. As indicated by the president, we would be for guiding about 90 basis points for the year. For the year at this moment.
Dobrze, dziękuję wszystkim bardzo za przybycie.
Thank you very much for coming, and let's move to discussions offline.
Dziękuję.